Welcome to Motherfucklore, a podcast about words, Irish words and words from Ireland. Ola Majeka Dubis Adam Dub, Falcha Galana Africa, Gavilis Ochteg, and Shaw Il Estach, Farm Lee, Pork and Inishka, Balia Aklia. So, I don't know about you guys, but I'm very, very excited to be here. This is the first time the Motherfucklore podcast is recording live here in Africa Day Phoenix Park, and I am joined by a very, very special guest, RT News Today presenter Zainab Boladale. How are you, Zainab?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very excited.
So, Zainab, it's so nice to actually finally meet you, because like we follow each other on Twitter.
Yeah.
And like I remember the first time we connected online was when there were some trolls online saying like, oh, when news broke out about Zainab like becoming the first RT Afro-Irish RT presenter, like people online, trolls online were saying really mean things, like saying she's not Irish and stuff. And I was just like, I just went on Twitter and I was like, she is Irish. Okay, that is final. So yeah, it's so nice to finally meet you. So first of all, I'd like to chat to you about like how the Irish language came into your life. Like how, what was your experience with Irish language?
So what had happened was through primary school, I always kind of enjoyed languages. I really, really enjoyed them. So much so that my primary school teacher had mentioned to my mom, it was like sixth class. He had said, you know, she's a girl that would actually really benefit from Irish because she picks up languages very quickly. And at the time I was like, no, I don't want to go to an Irish speaking school because I wanted to be with my friends. My mom was like, just give it a go. If you don't enjoy it, that's fine. We can always move schools. That's no problem. By secondary school, I went to an Irish-speaking secondary school, Vishé Onwa. There was a bit of a problem in first year because I found it difficult to catch up. I found it difficult to take exams through Irish. I was okay with spoken Irish and I was okay with understanding Irish, but when it came to written Irish, even now, my written Irish is terrible. So that was where the struggle came in. But come third year, you know, that was fine. I did my junior cert in Irish. It caused a little bit of a barrier, but it was fine. It was still doable. There was no problem. But I did leave the Gaeltacht towards leaving cert because I realized I wanted to do journalism through English in college. So I was like, I need to get good grades in English. And the irony then was that as my Irish was improving, my English was not good at all. Written English, it was crazy. Wow. As my written Irish was getting better, my written English was not that great. So I was like, well, I want to do journalism in the future, so that needs to change. So I did leave the Gaeltacht at that point, but I think it was absolutely beneficial because now I really do enjoy speaking Irish. I enjoy doing stories occasionally in Irish. I enjoy having the fluency to be able to understand it and to be able to occasionally speak it. It's been a while since I've used my Irish fluently because I don't speak to many people through Irish, but I can still kind of hold a decent conversation through it. But when it comes to writing things down, I'm like, I am not the girl for you. Absolutely not.
I feel that sometimes too as well. Like Irish grammar can be quite hard sometimes, but I feel like if you just, it's just about trying, I think. Yeah. Like if you just, often when I tweet online in Irish, I'm just like, oh, it's my grammar. Yeah. Okay?
I overthink any tweet in Irish. Literally. I overthink. Yeah. I'm like, does the fuck go there or not?
But I think online it's different because like everyone's more relaxed as well when it comes to the Irish language. But like, are people often surprised that you speak Irish?
I think the people who know about me aren't as surprised, but the people who maybe I'm talking to them while I'm in a report. So quite often, occasionally we'd go to reports to Irish speaking schools. And if I say like maybe a couple of lines in Irish, the teacher would be like, oh, she actually speaks Irish as well. Or if I interview the kids through Irish, they're usually shocked at first and then they're eased by it. I think very often people who like just meet me casually and I reply to them in Irish, they're like, oh wow, I was in Dingle. I was in Dingle in December and I was in a pub and it was an Irish speaking pub essentially. It wasn't officially Irish speaking, but quite a lot of people in Dingle would be fluent in Irish. I asked the bartender for what I wanted in Irish and he was like, oh, okay. Yeah. But I think people aren't as surprised anymore. They get over it very quickly when they do find out, I think.
Yeah.
And more than anything, they're very impressed by it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They're very impressed by it. I mean, in work now, there's the Radio na Gaeltachta, and they're absolutely always coming up to me and like, let's have a conversation in Irish. And I'm like, okay, no problem.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah,
I found like often when people see a person of colour speaking Irish, like they are at first quite surprised, but like after that, it's admiration mostly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like even it's quite funny because like even at the pop-up grill talks, there's that usually asks me like, do you have Irish?
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me that like at every pop-up grill talks, and it's just really funny because like, you still haven't like, accepted. Yeah. But what do you think of this whole idea of the new age of Irish speakers or the new age of the Irish language? Do you feel like the Irish language is becoming more evolved, becoming more accepting to other groups?
I absolutely do think so. I mean, I find it very interesting because back when I was in secondary school, I would have been the only person of color. Well, apart from this other person, I would have been one of two people of color speaking Irish in an Irish speaking school. But now when I go back to Clare, when I go to Gaelscoils around the country, there's usually about two students in a class that are like not just black, but maybe from a multicultural background. Yeah. And I always find that so heartwarming, and I really admire those children because, you know, they're going through primary school, secondary school, speaking a language that, you know, might not be native to their home, but it's native to their cultural context and where they're growing up.
Yeah.
And I think that's so beautiful because at the end of the day, you have to remember that Irish is like any other language. You know, if you really enjoy speaking it, then it's not something that you think you give a second thought to.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people who do speak it, they do find a little bit of similarities in it. I mean, when I tell people that I speak Yoruba at home, but I speak Irish occasionally if I'm speaking to an Irish speaker, and I also speak English, they're like, what language do you think in? I'm like, a bit of everything.
Yeah.
But no, I think this new age of Irish speakers, it's absolutely beautiful to see that so many people are taking on a language that is their cultural context. It's really good.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing I think as well about the Irish language, that there's no boxes or categories that comes with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's open to anyone. It's,
yeah.
And it's a language. And yeah, like I was talking with Alex Hymans. I don't know if, yeah, he's an author. He's actually originally from Holland, and he speaks fluent Irish. They founded this IMASC back in 2005, and it was basically to show people from an immigrant background, you know, Irish is for you as well. Because at that time, there was a lot of anti-immigrant sentiment in Ireland, and they really wanted to campaign and show that, you know, don't see the Irish language as kind of like false to you. Like, it's for you as well. You're a part of it. So, yeah, I just think that's very important, and to continue that mindset that Irish language is for everyone. And this brings me to identity. Do you find, as a person of Nigerian background growing up here in Ireland, do you find that you struggle with your identity sometimes?
I think, well, yes and no. Yes, because I'm quite aware. I love being Nigerian. I love being black. I love growing up in Ireland. I love, like, I feel very much as Irish as I am Nigerian. And I find it funny when I say to people, you know, when people ask me where I'm from, when I'm on holidays, I say, oh, I'm from Ireland. And then they give me a second look and I'm like, and then I'm like, and then they ask the next question, where are you really from? And I said, well, I grew up in Ireland. My parents are from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I still very much identify as Nigeria, and I still very much identify as Irish, because those are both what I know. This is my cultural context, where that is my ultimate background, Nigeria. I think identity, it's very interesting, because I think it's very possible to have dual identity. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget that. Like, people think, you know, you have to say that you're just from one. But when you know two things very, very distinctively and very, very, it's very close to home, then it, of course, it's absolutely possible to feel like you're from dual identities. And that's how I view it. I think very much people in work always say, you know, you have such, you don't really have a Clare accent, but you also don't really have a Nigerian accent. And I was like, I don't know what my accent is, to be honest. But I don't know. For me, I do feel very much that it's a dual identity type of thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Identity isn't fixed, you know. However you identify is however you identify. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think people should question that.
Yeah.
But for yourself, what do you, would you call yourself Afro-Irish or Black
Absolutely.
Irish
that's
or Nigerian
would,
Irish? Afro-Irish?
I usually don't like I would say, I wouldn't say it in conversation, but I'm comfortable with that label.
Mm.
I'm absolutely comfortable with that. Afro-Irish, I think it's definitely an identity that's growing. I mean, my sister and my brother, they're both born here, and essentially Ireland is all they really know. They visited Nigeria like maybe for a month now and then, but essentially this is what they know. So I think they would absolutely take on the name Afro-Irish. And I think it's you can see it with a lot of the new generation, because about 20, 30 years ago is when a lot of, you know, people of color were giving birth here, and their children have grown up here. Their children are going to colleges now, and you're seeing them in the workforce. You're seeing them in the media occasionally. And I think that's definitely appropriate term for them.
Yeah, I think people are definitely becoming like more confident in having dual identity, because like I know it myself, it was quite hard to, like, I didn't know, am I Nigerian or am I Irish? Like, do I have to pick a side, or am I just both? And I've definitely like become more confident in being just both, you know. I was born Nigerian, but my experiences are Irish.
And I think it all honestly kind of also really helps you understand other people when you're able to embrace both, because I know people who kind of like want to play it, the fact that they're Nigerian down, they're like, I don't want people to know. And I'm like, why are you playing that down? That's also a big asset. It means that you have a whole wider world that other people might not be able to have, because, you know, they didn't grow up that way, they didn't grow up with the cultural context or the history. Like, I'm very much in touch with my Nigerian history. I love learning new things about Nigeria. I love learning new things about Ireland. I think being able to embrace both honestly gives you such a wider worldview.
It's
a great thing to be able to educate yourself and also feel like, oh my god, I have this much knowledge about two very different countries.
And like, how would you find your Yoruba? I know we were talking about this earlier.
So it's very funny because I speak close to fluent Yoruba, but I'm very like awkward about speaking it to anybody but my mom and my dad, or close family members. And my mom's very funny, she's always like, why don't you speak Yoruba on the show? And I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, no. She's like, but you speak Irish on the show. Why don't you speak Yoruba on the show? I'm like, it's not that show. You know, I speak fluent Yoruba because, again, the language thing, I'm very much in touch with languages. I find that I really enjoy Yoruba. I'm going back to Nigeria this summer for a week or two. So I'm definitely going to use it now and then here, just to kind of see if people will pick up that I'm speaking Yoruba in a very Irish way, or if I'm speaking Yoruba in a very Yoruba way. I'm going to kind of test to see if people know the difference. But I don't know. I really enjoy being able to speak Yoruba as well. I feel like I also find it very useful for when I'm getting my hair done or something like that, and people start talking Yoruba because they think I won't understand. Because I come in with this accent, and, you know, of course, the last thing they would expect is for me to be able to speak fluent Yoruba. And, you know, they'll say something like, you know, I don't know, they'll say something, maybe sometimes it's like an insult, or it's like sometimes it's like something like they're talking about me, and I'll just sit there and, like, you know, at the end of getting my hair done, I'll reply to them, I'll just say something in Yoruba, and they'll be like so I really do enjoy that.
It's handy too, to have.
Or like when I'm walking down the street and I hear someone else talking Yoruba, I'm like, and then immediately turn around. So it's nice being able to have that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely love hearing Yoruba when I'm out in town and city. Like, it's beautiful to hear. And do you think that's why, do you think because of having Yoruba, that's why you kind of connected with the Irish language? Did that play a role?
I think they're two very different languages. I think that Yoruba can be a kind of aggressive language, because the way it's spoken, it can be a little bit more like a harsher tone language, whereas Irish is a bit more of a passive language. I don't know if that's right in saying it. It's a bit more of a passive language. So I think they're polar opposites. So I don't think that they really have a overlap at all, because, you know, the way if you speak French, it's almost easier for you to speak another language. It's strange, but I think like Yoruba is a very, very completely different languages. But I find that some Yoruba words are kind of continental in Africa, which I find very interesting. Because you'd hear another thing in from another African country and you're like, oh, that's the same word in Yoruba. So it's nice having that, because you kind of have a bit more of a continental understanding. And also, in the future, I hope to study the historical significance of Yoruba and what kind of role it played, because despite the fact that, you know, Nigeria has so many different tribes, Yoruba is also one that people in general have a lot of words from, which is very interesting. So
I definitely find that Yoruba culture is very popular in the African continent.
Absolutely.
I find it very, very rich, and I definitely want to like look more into it and see. This brings me to the next theme, racism. Do you feel like the racism you experience now is different from the racism you experienced before, let's say years ago, like 10 years ago?
Okay. So 10 years ago, I was very young. But the racism I experience now, it's 80% online. A lot of people aren't happy with the Black presenter. Now, these people would never say it to your face. They wouldn't say it. They would never come up to you and say these things. But I do get a lot of hate online. Generically, the first time I experienced hate as a journalist was when I wrote an article commenting on the political context of Ireland. And then I just got that article and my picture put onto a racist site, and it was all things like, you know, what does she know? She wasn't even, you know, she's not even part of our ancestor heritage and all this stuff, you know, and all this ridiculous words that I'm not even going to use. And then when I experienced racism as a presenter on TV, it was very much like, you know, why are we giving this African girl who doesn't know about our country a platform to talk on? Next, she's going to brainwash our children to move to Africa. And I'm like, no, I'm just here as a journalist. I'm not here as a Black journalist. I'm just here as a journalist.
Yeah.
So I think the racism I experience now, before I didn't really experience racism like directly, simply because number one, I was young. And number two, the racism I experienced there was usually from people on the street, but not in like, they wouldn't shout, you know, a bad word at me. It would just be passive aggressive racism. Or it's usually an older people back 10 years ago would have done it, but I don't think they did it intentionally.
Yeah, do you find that the racism is older, mostly
elderly people? Like, elderly people that do it don't do it intentionally. So I forgive them, but it's when it's from younger people, which I've not experienced as much, that I think is a bit. I mean, when I was in school, in the Irish school, a couple of this girl said one thing to me, and I was like, what? She would start the day when she saw me. She would say, "Hi now, brown cow," and I'm like, that's not funny. And she's like, no, it's a joke. I'm like, no, that's not funny. And I also found that one thing was, because a lot of those students there, they would have grown up with a farming background. They would have grown up with, so the way my girls' school worked was everyone went from Montessori to primary to secondary, the same group of friends. Yeah. So I was literally the only Black person they had met in their life. So the racism they had was stuff they had learned from their parents who've never had a Black friend in their life.
Yeah.
So the racism I experienced there was very passive aggressive and things they learned from their parents, things they would have been told from their parents. But I think towards the end, actually, funnily enough, towards the end of that, of me being there, a lot of them apologized, being like, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't actually know what I was saying was bad to be said. So yeah, it's very different. The kind of, I think people now wouldn't dare to be racist to your face, simply because they'd be scared of what other people would say. But I think people are racist in their homes and they're racist online behind fake accounts.
Yeah. So do you think it's the racism you experience now is a lot more subtly? Like it's not in your face.
Yeah. It's easy to ignore it online. I mean, I've said to people, I can't believe people would actually go through the effort to type 100 characters just to insult me. But I think it's definitely done through fake accounts, which is sad.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of crescents online, definitely a lot of them.
But
do you think Ireland, because we're at Africa Day today, do you think Ireland is a lot more accepting now of people from immigrant backgrounds?
Absolutely. I think Ireland is moving forward very fast, because you have to remember it's still very young. It's still a very young country. Ireland is moving very forward very fast. And I think even more now, it's so much more like people are comfortable to see interracial families. I've heard stories from people in their 40s, 50s, who said that the Ireland they grew up with in as a Black person or as an interracial person was completely different. Like they would feel people stare at them on the street. I don't feel people stare at me on the street, which is good. You know what I mean? I think Ireland is moving forward very fast, and especially like big cities like Cork, Dublin, Limerick. Like it's much more easier to be a person of color there. I think rural Ireland still has a little bit of a push to go, but I think definitely the bigger cities and the bigger towns are moving forward very fast, and it's great to see. And it's funny because my little sister, she's 16, and my little brother, he's 10. They're part of a Kaylee band, which is so cool. And it's really funny because there's about 10 Black, like they play the fiddle, the banjo, the tin whistle, and then they're all Black. And then there's about 12 other Irish students as well. And they all play in this Kaylee band together, and it's great. And I mean, I grew up loving Kaylee's. It's really interesting to see the differences.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, no, going back to racism being a lot more subtler nowadays, I do find that like I'll definitely get more looks now.
Yeah.
So like if I'm walking down with my boyfriend on the street, he's white, I get more looks. yeah, like, I think it's still bad, the looks, like, that still puts me off,
mm-hmm.
getting those looks, because, like, it's just, it makes you feel like you're trying to belittle me in mm-hmm. some way. But I definitely, for myself, feel like the racism is a lot more subtly. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think people have, racists have the courage to come in my face and say the N-word.
Yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Mm-hmm. No. Usually I say to people, if you feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because I don't mm-hmm. really pay attention to people. I don't really feel I get looks, but I find it very interesting. Usually if I'm going somewhere in a professional capacity and people sometimes will overlook me, number mm-hmm. one, I'm short. Number two, I'm young. And then mm-hmm. when I say, you know, I'm Zeina Boladil from RTE, they're like, oh, wow, really? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And then they're like surprised, but then I think that kind of fizzles out as soon as they meet me mm-hmm. as the person that I am rather than the color that I am. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great that that's happening. And I think I've had a lot of young Black girls say to me, you know, oh, you're such an inspiration, things like that. Mm-hmm. And which is amazing. But I think definitely through my job, I think in a context, it is changing the way people view Black people, because some people might have never even talked to a Black person, which is crazy,
that's absolutely crazy to
me to think, but it's nice for that to happen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and go back to young Black girls saying that they find you an inspiration. Definitely for myself, you're an inspiration.
Thank you.
To see, you know, the first Afro-Irish RTE TV presenter, like, I was just like, finally, you know, finally.
Yeah.
And like, how do you even feel having that title, like the first Afro-Irish RTE presenter?
I don't think about it. No, 100% I don't think about it, simply because it's strange to me. Well, I mean, I'm aware of it. I don't really think about it as that, because I feel, for myself, I see myself as first journalist, because ever since I was young, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I remember when I said this is what I wanted to do to my family, they were like, are you sure? You could have been a doctor, you could be an engineer, you could be this, the list, a set list. And I'm like, you know, no, this is what I wanted to do. They're like, there's not much money in it. I was like, that's fine, I'll sort that out later.
passion first.
Yeah, passion first. I think even when I was in college, my mom was like, ah, she'll do it and then she'll do something else after. But I think, for me, it was just always something I really, really, really wanted to do. And I'm quite a passionate person. Mm-hmm. And when I really want to do something, I can be very stubborn about it. So even like working in terms of writing, because I'm really interested in features. Mm-hmm. In terms of writing features, I was doing things I cared about, things I wanted to talk about. I would talk about, you know, my identity. I would talk about myself and how I would talk about not just myself, but I'll talk about people, things I care about. And that was always it for me. It just so happens that I ended up in TV.
Yeah.
I had never really thought about TV in a deep context. I thought, you know, it'd be cool, as everyone thinks about it. It's like, it'd be cool. But when I went for the audition, I was like, ah, sure, let's just do it. It'll be fine, whatever. So I went into the audition and I was like, and then there was like no callback for a month. I was like, that's fine, you know. And then when I got the call two months later, I was like, are you serious? You're joking. So I went in anyway and they're like, yeah, you got the job. And I'm like, cool. And I don't think I really believed it until I started my job and I started working on camera and I was seeing myself and I was like, oh, this is very weird.
Yeah.
And then people started tweeting at me, being like, oh, I just saw you on TV. Or like people would tweet at me, oh, it's so great to finally see a Black presenter. It's so great to have the representation.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was like, oh, that's really cool. But it wasn't, I don't know. For me, I still find it very difficult to accept that is my reality.
You don't think about it.
Because, you know, I go to work and I come home and I binge Netflix. Like, you know, like that's the reality that I see.
Yeah.
But I understand for other people, the reality that they see is different. So I think for me, it's still very much the thing I haven't truly, truly accepted fully. That's actually me, not someone else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because I remember watching the 6-1 News before and yourself and another South African girl was on
as well. Yeah.
She was talking about racism.
Yeah.
And I just thought that picture on screen was so powerful.
Yeah.
Like, this is Ireland 2018. We have come so far in terms of diversity.
Yeah.
And here at the Africa Day, obviously, it's very diverse today. And, you know, we have the language exchange. You know, we're trying to get people to exchange different languages, different words, and share it amongst one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what do you think about the Irish language being put an emphasis on it here at Africa Day today?
I think, honestly, with the Irish language, I think if you can even, like, learn a few generic words, it's awesome. Like, because I think even Irish people love, even if you can say something like leather hall, they're like, oh, they spoke a few words. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of Irish people don't keep up the language. That's the fact about it. So I think Irish people are still very impressed when, you know, people of color have literally just a line. They love it, which I think is so funny. Yeah. So I think just take it on yourself to just learn maybe a few words here and there, just a few generic words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes feel like when you tell someone you have Irish, maybe online or in person, that they might feel a bit threatened? Because I remember when I was saying something online on Twitter and someone just commented and said that you are destroying the Irish language, that you are like, it's not for you, blah, blah, blah.
So it's funny because I think a lot of people don't believe that I actually speak Irish. And I say to people, you know, I speak Irish, but it's not like absolutely amazing Irish. Like, and a lot of people will tweet at me in Irish and I'll reply a little bit and they'll be like, and someone like a troll will comment underneath it, she totally copied that from Google Translate. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So on my Twitter bio, it says Will Gore and then in brackets ish. So if I make a mistake, that's why. I think people still very much are looking to call you out for being a fake. Oh, you don't really speak Irish. You're lying about it. On my CV, it's on my CV that I speak Irish. And a lot of employers are like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah. And I feel like they're like, is that actually true though?
Yeah.
No, I think people still very much, until they see you speak it, they don't truly want to believe you.
Yeah, I feel you. And like, what are you looking forward to most here at Africa Day now that you're here?
I am very
this
much
is your
looking
first for- one, isn't
this
it?
This is my first one, crazily enough. I'm very much looking forward to the food stands. Yeah, that's what I'm really looking forward to. But the acts have been amazing. And just everyone and the atmosphere is really cool. It's nice to be here for the first time.
Amazing, yeah. And just because it's Mother Folklore, can you please share your favorite Irish words with us?
In Arira. Because I say things like, I have like little catchphrases, but In Arira is one that I absolutely love. I don't know why. And I have this one. Togabage. I love that as well. That's actually one of the only things my mom knows how to say. So that's another reason why I love that.
Yeah. I think my parents could only say like Diogwich and things like that. But like, it's something like it doesn't matter. Yeah. And well, unfortunately, that's all we have for this episode of Mother Folklore. It's been great doing a first live Mother Folklore podcast here at Farmley Estate, Phoenix Park, Africa Day 2018. Salem, thank you so much
for being an amazing
guest. It was lovely to have you here. So that's a slán for me, Ola Majeka Dumi.
And Zaina Boladil.
Garmila Bagi.
Garmila.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.